This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What we know about the U.S.-China relationship on this Friday. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. An update this morning about U.S.-China relations given the trade war. President Trump said that he had a, quote, good talk on the phone with Chinese President Xi yesterday. And Bloomberg News, citing unnamed sources, is reporting that Trump has asked members of his cabinet to draw up a more concrete list of things the U.S. wants from China to get negotiations moving. Now, there's no independent confirmation of this, and some analysts remain skeptical. At the same time, the administration is pledging to prosecute more Chinese companies accused of stealing intellectual property. Thursday, the Justice Department indicted three former employees at the microchip maker Micron and some other companies for allegedly handing trade secrets to the Chinese. Marketplace's Ben Bradford has more.
Micron makes memory chips for electronics, including smartphones. It relies heavily on Chinese manufacturers. But at the same time,
Chinese policy is to squeeze them out of the market.
Jim Lewis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, he says this is emblematic of the dilemma facing U.S. tech companies.
How do we work with Chinese companies in a way that doesn't end up selling them the rope we would use to hang ourselves?
The Trump administration's broad answer includes the crackdown on intellectual property theft, but also tariffs, limits on U.S. tech exports to China, and restrictions on visas for tech workers and students.
The goal is really to disentangle the U.S. economy from the Chinese economy.
Susan Shirk chairs the 21st Century China Center at UC San Diego. She thinks the strategy is too heavy-handed. Tech companies are also conflicted. They want protection for their intellectual property while criticizing tariffs for disrupting their business. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Today's the big October employment report. How aggressive was the hiring? Are wages and salaries accelerating after the long stagnation? When the data come out this morning, think about those hurricanes in the east. Marketplace's Andy Euler has some patterns from other storms.
Last year, Johns Hopkins University economist Jonathan Wright was studying the relationship between storms and jobs, and he got to wondering.
Imagine that there hadn't been that storm. What would the jobs numbers have looked like?
He found that in the short term, storms tend to have a negative effect on the employment picture.
Hotels and restaurants tend to be the ones that are most impacted by hurricanes.
He says construction tends to see a quick rebound, and if you collect trash, you're going to be pretty busy after a hurricane. Jed Kolko, chief economist at Indeed.com, says the effects of a disaster last a long time because of the way these job numbers are calculated.
This past month, the government reported a huge year-over-year increase in employment in Florida. We were comparing this year's employment in Florida to a year ago,
when Hurricane Irma had just hit. So comparing this year to last will make it look like Florida gained a lot more jobs. But that's because the state had lost so many after Irma. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.7%. Here, the S&P future is up 0.8%. Apple stock is down 5.4% after the company dialed in the teensiest bit of doubt about how robust its holiday sales will be.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next,
we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
My colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech, has been looking into how officials try to keep America's voting system safe from hackers and other meddlers. Molly, hello.
Hi, David.
You've been reporting on vulnerabilities in systems used to count votes in America, but I think we're going to zoom into a piece of this at the moment. What was it that hackers got into voter databases? Where and to what end?
There's a lot of noise about election machines, but it's important to sort of consider all the parts of the election system that could be vulnerable. So more than once, state-sponsored actors from Russia or other hackers have tried to get into these voter registration databases that have information about voters. So the state of Illinois is probably the most well-known instance of an actual attack. It had its database hacked back in 2016. It exposed the data, or could have exposed the data, of about 70,000 voters. But what's interesting is that after the fact, the Department of Homeland Security, the Justice Department, and the FBI all essentially said that the goal of the hack was not to steal information at all. It was actually to diminish confidence, to undermine confidence in the process of the election.
But the idea that the hacker wanted this to come out, that they had been rooting through the registration rolls in Illinois, the idea is what? You just have less confidence in the system and you might be less likely to cast a vote or something?
That's exactly it. If you can undermine faith, and that is what is sort of so, you know, election officials will say that's what's really at stake here. If you can undermine faith in the actual process of voting, then you may be less likely to vote, especially if you're undecided, you're not that passionate about the issues. And if you don't have confidence in the election system, and maybe you're getting micro-targeted with ads on Facebook, for example, that say, oh, don't worry, your candidate is already well in the lead and they've closed polling stations, which are the kinds of, you know, real ads that get distributed during elections, that could have a serious effect on turnout and voter decision making.
Let's just get a sense of scale here. I mean, did your reporting turn up big examples of widespread changing of election results in America?
Absolutely not. And I think that's the really important point, is that everyone should still vote. It is very important to talk about the security of elections, but there is no widespread examples of widespread fraud. Even attacks on an election machine are so contained, because you have to have physical access, that you have to vote anyway.
The host of Marketplace Tech, my colleague Molly Wood, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Credits where credit is due. Executive producer here is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Redmond Carlipio. The intern is Ali Oshinsky. The engineer, Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.